Where does that energy for you and that motivation for you come from?
It actually comes from I lost my brother, Stefan, and I lost another one, my teammate, Wade. Every day is not promised. As you can see, they will do anything to have this day. So I try to be my best each and every day and try to be my best in all. You never know, a lot of, like you see the fans coming here, they might just come here just to see me do my little horse dance. You never know. You know, when I was at the baseball game, somebody tried to make me do the dance, and I was like, wow, someone actually know me just from that dance. He's like, hey, you the guy that did the dance. Like, can you do it for me? I'm like, come on, guy, I'm at a baseball game. Like, trying to embarrass me? But the crowd was like, yeah, let's go in. I was like, no, please.
Tell them they got to go to the basketball game to see that dance. They got to buy a ticket. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of Boot Up, the LSU Basketball Podcast. I'm Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. Got a very packed show for you today. We're going to very quickly recap LSU's 83-79 win over Georgia at the weekend. Talk a little bit about Javonte Smart stepping up, about Naz Reid's big second half, about the use of LSU's three-guard lineup. We'll preview the Florida game on Wednesday as LSU returns home for a three-game homestand. Just four home games left for LSU this year as they are tied for first in the SEC after Tennessee's loss at Kentucky on Saturday. So I can't encourage you enough to get out to the PMAC and see this team, because not only are they fun and entertaining, but they're competing for an SEC championship, and there's only four more home games. So I know the Tennessee game sold out. You can still find tickets on StubHub, but the other games, still tickets available. Get out there. Check out the Tigers. We'll get to a few of your questions after we preview the Florida game. And then I have an interview with LSU freshman forward Emmett Williams, which you can imagine was quite entertaining, and it was a really good conversation with Emmett. So I'm going to try to get through all this other stuff as quickly as possible so we can get to that interview with Emmett. But let's start with the Georgia game. LSU wins 83-79. Kind of an interesting game, because I thought LSU played well. You would think if LSU plays well, they would beat a team with Georgia's record in the SEC. I think Georgia's now 1-11 in the SEC by more than 4 points. But I thought Georgia played really well, too. I just thought it was a well-played basketball game. If you look at the turnover numbers, LSU only turned it over 8 times. Georgia only turned it over 11 times. LSU shot 56% from the field. Georgia shot 47% from the field, 44% from three. I thought it was a well-played game that LSU was able to pull out late by just playing better and making big plays down the stretch. A couple standouts, obviously Tremont Waters with 20 points, had a huge first half. He also had 5 assists and just 2 turnovers. I really like how his turnover numbers have been trending down lately in conference play. I believe he's well over 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, if my memory serves me correctly. Yep, I've just checked it, and it's 78 assists to 37 turnovers. So he's been really good with the ball in conference. He was electric offensively in the first half. He's always wreaking havoc defensively. Naz Reid had a huge, huge second half, scored all 13 of his points after halftime on 5 of 9 shooting after a slow start in the first half. And that's kind of become a trend with Naz, is these huge second halves. I broke down his splits in conference play. Listen to these second half numbers that he's averaging second half and overtime in SEC games. 11.2 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, on 58.4% shooting from the field, 58.3% shooting from three, and 83.3% shooting from the line. That's dominant stuff. And I know he wants to play better in the first half. I talked to him a little bit about it yesterday at the media session. You know, he said what you would expect him to say. He's just coming out more aggressive in the second half. He wants to come out a little more focused in the first half so he can match that production. But Tremont took the first half against Georgia offensively. Naz took over in the second half. But another guy who had a huge second half was Javonte Smart, who finished with 19 points on the game. He hit 3 of 4 from beyond the arc for the game. I did the splits on him too. If you look at his shooting from three in SEC play, he's actually shooting 39% from three on the road as opposed to 31% overall. So there's something about road atmospheres that Javonte likes. Now, if you watched the game, you saw that Javonte Smart, after he hit one of those threes, received a technical foul. I'm sure many of you at home were wondering what he said. Probably weren't happy about the fact that LSU got a technical foul. I asked Javonte what he said. And just to give you some context, I believe it was at this point in the game, but LSU is down 59-56, and Javonte hits a three with 12 minutes left, ties it up at 59, and he starts talking to a Georgia player, but he actually wasn't talking to a Georgia player, is what he told me. He told me yesterday that he was just hyping himself up. He was saying, they can't guard me, he was saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. And so he said he was talking to himself. The ref thought he was talking to the Georgia player. He said that he had been warned about talking. So he was remorseful for his technical foul, but Will Wade was not. Will Wade, in fact, liked the technical foul. Here's Will Wade talking about that technical foul and just talking about Javonte Smart in general.
He's a pit bull. He's an absolute pit bull, and I love it. I love the technical he got the other night. It sent a message. Got our team fired up. It sent a message that, I mean, I don't want to get into it all, but Georgia was, I mean, it was an intense game, and they were saying some things, and, I mean, it sent a message that we're just not going to stand here and take it. And I thought that was very, very well-timed and good time to send that message. And we went on our run from there.
Will was asked a couple more Javonte Smart questions during the press conference. I'm going to play his answer to one of them where he kind of jokingly says, what is this, the Javonte press conference? And then goes on to say, you know, why Javonte deserves all the credit and success that he's getting. He's one of those guys that for Will Wade, his numbers don't tell you exactly how good he's been. He just gives you so much winning. He was so attack-minded in the second half against Georgia, even the first half when he came off the bench. He just was relentless going to the rim. And he's also embraced this role as a sixth man that a lot of guys with his pedigree and his high recruitment may not have embraced. He's completely embraced it, and he's excelled there for LSU. So here's Will Wade talking about that and responding to yet another Javonte Smart question at yesterday's press conference.
Just like the Javonte press conference? I like it. It's good. He deserves it. Oh. No, it's no. I mean, there's not a phony bone in his body now, guys. He's as real as they come. He's as real as they come. He's Baton Rouge through and through. He's as real as they come. His mother's done an unbelievable job raising him, and she raised him tough, and he plays tough. And he's as real as they come. I love the kid to death, and he's been great for us. And the best thing about him is when you need him the most and in the biggest moments, he delivers. He don't ever shy away when it's tough. When it's tough sledding, he doesn't ever shy away, and the moment's never too big for him. That's really, really hard to do as a freshman. Just think back. I mean, the shot he hit against Louisiana Tech. He's been great for us.
One last thing as it relates to Javonte Smart before we move to the Florida preview, answer some of your questions, and then get to the Emmett Williams interview. I got curious after that Georgia game because I noticed that LSU leaned on that three-man backcourt quite a bit with Javonte Smart, Tremont Waters, and Skylar Mays. And I remember early in the season, even before the season, Will Wade was saying how much how high of hopes he had for that lineup, how he expected to use it quite a bit. And then early in the season, it wasn't working out quite as well for LSU as they planned. In non-conference, actually, that lineup had an on-off rating of -5, so LSU was actually about 5 points worse per 100 possessions when that unit played compared to other units for LSU. But that has completely reversed. In SEC play, that lineup has gotten to where Will Wade thought that it would be. That three-guard lineup has been very, very good. Here are the numbers. In SEC play, that three-man backcourt of Javonte Smart, Tremont Waters, and Skylar Mays is scoring 119 points per 100 possessions. So when those three are on the floor, that's what LSU is scoring, 119 points per 100 possessions. They're giving up just 101 points per 100 possessions. So that's a net of plus 18, which is very good. Here's another key number. LSU's turnover percentage when all of those guys are on the floor is just 13.9%. Their turnover percentage in all other lineups is 20.3%. So to put that in context, that 13.9% number would be the second best number in the country if that was LSU's number for the season. The best number in the country for offensive turnover percentage is St. Joe's. They're at 13.5% as a team. Michigan is number two at 14.0%. LSU, when Skyler, Javonte, and Tremont are on the floor in SEC play, is at 13.9%. That is an elite, elite number, and that's been a huge part of why they've been so good in conference play. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay, let's quickly talk about Florida, and then and I'll answer some of your questions, and we'll get to the Emmett Williams interview. A quick overview on Florida. They're 14-11 and 6-6 coming in, but they're a team that the computers love because they're so good defensively, and their efficiency numbers are really good. They're 30th in KenPom. They're 33rd in the net. One of the reasons that they're so high in the net is their average net losses is only 28. So if you average up all the teams that have beaten them, those teams have an average of ranking 28th in the net. So they've played a really tough schedule. They're playing well lately. They've won two straight games. They're 10th in the country in defensive efficiency. They're just elite on that end of the floor. They make it really hard for you to score. A couple guys to look out for. Andrew Nembhard is a point guard that I really like. He's a true freshman. Early in the season, he was putting up really, really crazy assist-to-turnover numbers. He's kind of regressed there, as freshmen are wont to do, but he's still third in the SEC in assist rate. Against Alabama, their last game out, Florida, crushing Alabama on the road. He was 9 of 9 from the floor. He's a good player. He's big. He's 6'3", 6'4". He's long. He plays at his own pace. I really like his game. The other guys to keep an eye out for: Noah Locke, Kayvon Allen. Allen is a guy that, if you've watched LSU play Florida in the last couple of years, he's one of those guys that seems like he's been there forever. He's a senior. He's a volume scorer. He shoots, right at 90% from the line. He's made 46 threes in the season. He can get hot in a hurry. Locke is much more efficient. He's shooting 40%, 41% from three this year. He's hit 67 threes in 25 games. So he's hitting almost three threes a game. He can get hot in a hurry, and he doesn't turn the ball over. He's fourth in the country in turnover percentage. So they're going to run a number of bigs out there: Kavarius Hayes, Keontae Johnson, who's kind of an undersized four-man. Jalen Hudson is a guy that's playing on the wing for them. He's a senior, so you'll probably be familiar with him if you've seen LSU play recently. So it's a team that guards. They really, really slow it down. They're 335th in the country in tempo, and they're 351st in defensive tempo. So they really, really sit down and guard you. They turn you over. Opponents are turning it over 24% of the time against them. That's 7th in the country. So they force a ton of turnovers. That's going to be huge for LSU, and ties into what I was just talking about with that 3-guard lineup for LSU. So that's my quick Florida preview. Let's move on to your questions, and then we will get to the Emmett Williams interview. We had some really good questions this week. I had trouble trimming it down. I tried to trim it down as much as possible. The first question is from Matt Zemeck, at Matt Zemeck on Twitter. He said, did any game over the past 1.5 months of SEC play force LSU and Will Wade to seriously rethink how the team played or how it approached games? That's a really good question. And I wouldn't say that an SEC game has done that for LSU. I think they've been pretty consistent with how they've played in the conference. But I do go back to that Houston game in the non-conference where LSU was up 15 against Houston, who's now top 10 in the country, only lost once all year, and blew that game. And I think LSU's really changed their identity, their approach since then. I think I've played the audio before on this podcast, but Will Wade, essentially, the next game, LSU went to St. Mary's, and it was kind of a week-long road trip for LSU. They went to Houston, flew straight from Houston to Vegas. And at the team hotel in Vegas, Will Wade had a team meeting with the team. No coaches, no other staff, just him and the players. And really just had a heart-to-heart and said, how can I coach you guys better? They gave him some feedback. They basically said, just be a little more understanding. Give us not more rope, but understand that when we make mistakes, we are our intentions are usually in the right place. And so he's been more understanding with this team. The other thing is they are definitely pounding the paint more. They shot 26 three-pointers in that Houston game. The only game since then that they've shot more than that was the Missouri game, which, if you remember that game, LSU just shot a bunch of three-pointers to try to get back in it late, and they did. But they've been much more paint-oriented since then. That to me, that's the turning point of the season. They were 7-3 going out of that Houston game into that St. Mary's game, and they've only lost once since. So, and that was a one-point loss at home to Arkansas that very well could have been a win. So I think that was kind of the turning point in the season and the game where LSU kind of just reevaluated who they were, and Will evaluated how he was going to coach this team, and the team evaluated how they were going to play. And it's been very successful since then. All right, next question comes from George at McLaughlin1_1. If LSU goes 2-0 this week, do we lock up a top seed in the tournament? I assume that's the NCAA tournament. Also, do you think we at least share the conference title? I think if LSU goes 2-0 this week, that gives them a Tennessee win, which is going to be a huge resume booster. And obviously the win over Florida puts them at 13-1 in the conference. I think that would be sort of a springboard forward that I don't know that LSU would lose another conference game. A return trip to Florida will be tough. Florida is playing for their NCAA tournament lives. That makes them dangerous, but I think if you beat Tennessee at home, yeah, you're looking at least a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. And do we share the conference title? Yeah, if LSU goes 2-0 this week, they definitely, in my opinion, share the conference title, because Tennessee's schedule from there on out is pretty tough. LSU's is a lot easier. I think that would be a sign of LSU trending in the right direction, which they continue to do. But a win over Tennessee would certainly put LSU in a great spot heading into postseason play. A 2-0 week this week would be huge. That's why if you have any chance to get to the PMAC, you want to get there. Not only because the team needs your support, but it's going to be a wild couple of games in the PMAC over the next 8 or 9 days. Next question comes from, let me pull up my little questions here, from Nick Abshire at Abshire Nick. How does a young team like LSU block out national attention and continue to keep sustained focus throughout a distractible week like this one, considering Tennessee sellout, multiple home games, and more bracketology noise? That is a really good question, Nick. In fact, Will Wade was asked something pretty similar yesterday. The answer is going to sound a little bit cliche, because these types of answers tend to sound cliche, but I will tell you with this team, it's very, very true. And I summarize it this way. When LSU gets in big weeks like this, a lot of the noise around them is people zooming out, right? Like, people zoom way out and look at the big picture. Like we were just talking about, what's their national seed going to be in the tournament? Can they make a run? That's zooming way, way, way out and looking big picture. LSU, inside that basketball facility, inside that locker room, they zoom way, way in. Will Wade brings the focus to the minute, the day, the hour, the very next thing, and it's all about winning that day, winning that task. If they have a lifting session, win the lifting session. Beat your fatigue, beat your human instinct to take a little break here or there. Be the best that you can be in that weightlifting session. Then it's be the best you can be in film session. Then it's win practice. And then it's win, you know, whatever the next thing that LSU has to do, whether it's going over scout or getting in the cold tub after practice or your post-practice meal. It's win that moment. While everyone else is zooming way, way out, LSU zooms way, way in.
But we just talk about doing everything we need to do today. We just worry. We don't even talk about it game-wise. We just talk about today. You know, winning today, making sure we do what we need to do today, making sure we have championship traits, championship habits every day, and focus in on that. If you can win every minute, every hour, and then every day, then you'll give yourself a chance to win when it comes to game day. So we've tried to really break it down and focus on all the small stuff.
Last question comes from Adam Klobuchar. Hopefully I pronounced your last name right, Adam, at Adam Klobuchar 1. This is completely the opposite of what Will Wade just said. So if I get in trouble for this, Adam, I'm blaming you. what's your projection on LSU seeding in the tournament? I don't feel like they're getting the respect they deserve in the polls. I don't have a projection. I'm not a bracketologist. I can share with you the projections I've seen. Joe Lenardi from ESPN just put his out this morning. He has LSU as a 4 seed in Jacksonville. Yesterday, Jerry Palm at CBS had LSU as a 3 seed in Jacksonville. USA Today had LSU as a 3 seed in Jacksonville. The highest I've seen is teamrankings.net. They don't break it up into region, but they project LSU as the last number 2 seed right now. It's still too early. A lot depends on what happens this week. LSU's got to take care of Florida at home. They've got to take care of Tennessee. Then you move on to the next week. There's still a lot of basketball left to be played. LSU has a lot of improving to do. They're still winning on some slim margins. It's good that they've been good in close games, but it also shows you that if a few things go the wrong way, that the results could go the other way. So this is a team that's playing well and still needs to keep improving. But I like where they are going into the last couple weeks of SEC play. To be tied for first is quite the accomplishment. And I'll end with one question that I asked on Twitter hypothetically, but I got a good answer from Todd Politz over here at LSU. I asked hypothetically, you know, I said LSU's got three home games coming up. They're, you know, going to face the number one team in the country. That was before Tennessee lost to Kentucky. But when's the last time the PMAC had a week like this? And so Todd Pulley sent me a list of AP top 15 games in the PMAC. The last one was 2006 when LSU played Texas A&M early in the season. LSU was ranked number 9. And Texas A&M was ranked number 6. That was not a good season for LSU. That was the year after they went to the Final Four, and they struggled quite a bit that year. Before that, the previous time was 1984. So since 1953, let me count these that Todd sent me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just 9 times have two top 15 teams played in the PMAC. That will happen on Saturday with Tennessee. But LSU has work to do before that with Florida, who's, I'm telling you, this team defends so well. To me, it's a tough matchup. It's a team that can really shut you down offensively and make it a one or two possession game. And then at that point, anything can happen. So LSU has its hands full with Florida. Speaking of Florida, I had the opportunity to sit down with Florida native Emmett Williams, who, as you can tell from his shorts, as you can tell from some of his interviews that you may have seen him do, or just by the way that he plays, is full of personality. I mean, this guy is one of a kind. I really, really enjoyed this conversation with him. I wish it could have gone on longer. There's a couple times where we got interrupted by a person walking through, even though we kind of had some signs up saying, you know, please, we're recording, please try to go around or whatever. We tried to edit those out as best we can, so hopefully you don't even notice them. But if you do, that's what's going on. And enjoy this conversation with Emmett. After this interview, we'll close out the podcast. So I will be back later in the week after LSU plays Florida at home on Wednesday night. The Tigers are beginning a 3-game homestand. So again, I know I've said this before, but if you haven't bought tickets yet, get your tickets. Get out to the PMAC. This team is so much fun, and they are in the hunt for an SEC championship, which hasn't happened often in the past, and hopefully it happens more in the future. But now is the time to get in on the ground floor and see this team make its run to what could be a very special February and March. So without further ado, here is my interview with LSU freshman forward Emmett Williams. All right, here with Emmett Williams, LSU freshman forward on Boot Up, the LSU basketball podcast. Emmett, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You have such a big personality. I'm excited about this conversation, excited to see where it goes. Never know when you're talking to Emmett Williams where the conversation's going to go. First of all, I saw you were at the baseball game yesterday. Was that your first LSU baseball game?
First baseball game ever.
First baseball game ever. So what was your experience of your first baseball game ever?
I loved it. I was so happy, and the pitcher gave me the ball, and I was like, that meant so much to me. Like, after the game, I wanted him to sign it. But it's at my house. I'm actually going to give him to sign it for me one day. Because, like, I was there, like, really supporting, like, other athletes, and it felt good. Like, let's go, Tigers. Like, yeah. When a guy hit the home run, I was, like, number one fan there. Like, let's go.
Well, that kid's a pretty good pitcher, Jaden Hill. I'm sure you know him. Yeah. So that autograph may be worth something someday. So.
Oh, it is. Not even just an autograph. Like, we're close buddies, real good friends. So to know a guy like that is, like, very cool.
I mean, he looks like he could play on the basketball team, as big and athletic as he is. Can he play basketball? Do you know?
I think he can.
You think he's better at basketball than you are at baseball?
We're going to see about that one.
All right, man. I want to start the conversation here. So when you were being recruited by LSU, they had gone 2-16 in the SEC your junior year. Mm-hmm. And then Will Wade comes in senior year, and you're being recruited by every school in the country. I think Duke offered you. I mean, every school in the country is after Emmett Williams. When LSU is recruiting you, when Will Wade is recruiting you, what stands out about LSU and about Will Wade?
One thing I like about Coach, like, there's a lot of things going at him, but he only focuses on one thing at a time. Like, he's focused on his team and nothing else. So I like that about him. And when he came down to my home visit, he kept it real with me, like 100. He's just telling me, like, stuff he's going to help me progress and things he's going to help me on the court, how things are going to go this year, as you can see. Didn't tell the story, and it came out well. And the coaching staff is great. They kept in contact with me and my family very well, and it wasn't no shady stuff.
So when I was preparing for this interview, I was doing some research on you, just kind of searching on Google and Twitter and all that stuff. And you're one of those guys that was being recruited at a very young age. You were going viral, like, for your dunks at camps and in AAU games and stuff. And so I'm just curious, what's that like? What's that like to be 14, 15 years old, you windmill dunk on somebody in a game and it's gone viral and millions of people are seeing it. How do you handle that at that age? What's your
first
approach?
Of all, it's a blessing, man, because I never thought I would be the person who I am now. If I can go back 10 years and someone told me this, I'd be like, yeah, you're joking. Like, get out my face, wasting my time. Like, it's a blessing that people know my name. Like, every time a little kid come up and ask for your autograph, I'm like, wow, just kids want me to sign this autograph. My first autograph, I think I was in sixth grade, I wrote it in print because I didn't know to write it in cursive. So it's a blessing and it's cool, man. People all around the country know who you are. And like, we don't even know the guy's name. He's like, yo, you're Emmett Williams, can I take a picture? I'm always like, sure, because it's a blessing to get someone to actually like know you and acknowledge you.
So you grew up in a town called Lehigh Acres, Florida, right?
No, Fort Myers.
You're from Fort Myers?
Fort Myers,
okay.
Florida.
Tell me about Fort Myers and growing up there and how that's shaped the person you are today.
Fort Myers is a little city, very little, in Florida. People don't even know where it's at. We always compare it to people like, where are you from? From Fort Myers. Where that's at? We're like, Naples, close to Naples. Because you don't know about Fort Myers. But we actually have a lot of people that came out of there, like Sammy Watkins, Deion Sanders, a lot of football people. But I'm the first one in basketball to come out and actually go to college. I'm the first one in my family to actually go to college there. Like, my mom didn't go to college, my dad didn't go to college, my grandmother didn't finish like middle school. So it's like, I come from a rough side, and for my family to see me and my city to see me do this means a lot, and it keeps me going. Like, little kids back at home look up to me, but I also tell them, like, you can be me. I was in the same situation you was in. Like, I try to be a leader for them as much as I can possible. Like, if I go back home, I always go talk to the little kids and like show them like stuff they can always do on their own. Cause like no one ever showed me what I can do. I actually like took it the hard way. Like, I went to IMG, I went to there for 2 years. So that actually hurt me a lot. I wasn't around my mom and dad every day, home cooked meal. Like, that's the quiet side no one knew about. The stuff I didn't go home for Thanksgiving. Like, for 2 years in a row, I only went home for Christmas on a couple of days. So like, coming here my freshman year really didn't faze me at all because I was already used to it.
Yeah, you were prepared. You mentioned going to IMG, and I know you ended up at Oak Ridge for your senior year. Another LSU player that went to Oak Ridge was Antonio Blakeney. Just tell me about your relationship with him. I know you guys are close.
Antonio Blakeney is like really doing my brother. I can call him any time of the day, any time of the night, and ask him questions. He always tell me, even if it's something I done wrong, he would keep it real with me. Like, he'd be like, hey, little bro, you don't need to be doing that. You need to tighten up. Like, he took me in as a little brother and, like, real deal, talked to me. Like, if I'm doing something wrong, he's going to get on me.
You mentioned your family and being the first one to go to college. One of the things that stands out to me about your game is just the motor you play with. I mean, you're so high energy. You're always giving 100% effort. Is that what motivates you? Is it your family? What gets you going in the morning? Like, I compare you to Greg Golden, who is kind of like the other guy who walking around this building. Like, every time I see him, he's fired up. He's ready to go. He's
the best guy on this campus ever. Every time I see him, he has a smile. Even when it's raining outside, he's going to make it shine.
Yeah, well, I'll pay you this compliment. You remind me of him because you have that same energy about you.
Make sure you tell him that.
I'll tell him. Where does that energy for you and that motivation for you come from?
It actually comes from I lost my brother, Stefan, and I lost another one, my teammate, Wade. Every day is not promised. As you can see, they will do anything to have this day. So I try to be my best each and every day and try to be my best in all. You never know. A lot of, like, you see the fans coming here, they might just come here just to see me do my little horse dance. You never know. You know, when I was at the baseball game, somebody tried to make me do the dance, and I was like, wow, someone actually know me just from that dance. He's like, hey, you the guy that did the dance. Like, can you do it for me? I'm like, come on, guy, I'm at a baseball game. Like, you trying to embarrass me? Bearing the crowd, like, yeah, let's go in. I was like, no, please.
Tell them they got to go to the basketball game to see that dance. They got to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
What do you call that dance, by the way? Do you have a name for it?
We actually came up with it when we played Arkansas, and they was like, Hogs, you're going to beat y'all, you're going to beat y'all, and we won that game. I was like, we're going to ride them Hogs all the way back to Louisiana. So ever since then, the video just went viral.
Okay, yeah, I took the video of you after the Missouri game doing it, and I thought I heard you saying ride the Hogs, but I couldn't quite make out what you were saying. One of the other things that stands out about your game to me is your fearlessness. I think you just play with this fearless mentality. You're not afraid of any moment. You're not afraid of any player. Is there anything that you are afraid of? Like, I'm not talking about on a basketball.
Spiders.
Yes, tell me about your fear of spiders.
That's why I have this tattoo on me right here of a spider web, because that's the only thing I'm scared of. Like, I'm so scared of spiders. Like, I would kill a spider. I mean, I would kill a snake before I kill a spider. I remember this like yesterday. I'm from, when I used to live in Lehigh, it's like nothing but woods. Yeah. People call it the countryside. And I was going to sleep in my room, and like I was dozing off, and I see a spider the size of my hand on the wall. It really wasn't the size of my hand, but in my eyes, like the size of my hand. So I was like, I was just afraid. Me and the spider was legit having a staring contest because I was not taking my eye off this spider. So like 5 minutes into staring at the spider, I went in my brother's room. It's like, hey, little bro. He's like 9. I'm like 15 at the time. I'm like, hey, yo, wake up, man. I got a spider in my room. I need you to come kill it. And he's like, man, if you don't kill this spider, man. I'm like, bro, I can't. Like, my body just weakened on me. People was like, man, throw a shoe at it, man. You got these big old feet, man. Throw a shoe at it. I'm like, I can't, man. I froze. So my mom, it's like 2 in the morning. My mom's like, what the heck is that noise in there? I said, mom, it's a spider. She said, boy, if you don't kill that spider. I just can't. So that whole night, I didn't sleep in my room. I slept in my little brother's bed with him. The bed's not that big. And that's the night. I closed my room door. I was not sleeping in that room.
So the spider was gone the next morning?
I don't know. I didn't check. I ain't going in that room for a minute.
Okay, so spiders is the only thing that Emmett Williams is afraid of. You clearly aren't afraid of Kentucky and playing in Rupp because you had a huge game in the second half there. I'm curious, that this team seems to have this like ability for a different guy to step up every time that you need a moment. Like Skyler in Missouri, Tremont's had so many big games. Naz has had so many big games. You stepped up against Kentucky. What is it about this team that you guys are willing to play these roles and then just answer the call when you're called upon?
One thing about this team, we're actually a family. A lot of people say they're family, like just on the court. On and off the court, we're a family. Like if I'm going to go eat, hey guys, you want to go get some food? Because like one thing people don't understand is that you're going to need these guys multiple times, not just on the court. And you got to believe in the trust. Like, for instance, when Trey gave me that ball, he trusted me at the free throw line. My team trusted me. My coach, we could have just said, hey, coach, let's drop a play, any of that. They trust us. We trust each other. So that's one thing about us. We don't be like, hey, I got to be the superstar tonight. Oh, I got to be the superstar every night. We just go with the flow.
You reminded me of the moment at Missouri where you're shooting that free throw to tie the game. And Tremont said something to you right before, and then you couldn't see this, obviously, because you were shooting it, but I'm sure you've seen the video since. As you were shooting the free throw, Tremont was shooting it with you. And I know he does that more, you know, he does that throughout the season. That's not the first time that he's done it. But what does that say to you, like, when you're at the line in that moment, to know that your teammate's right there shooting the free throw with you?
That lets everyone know in the gym he has my back. That's exactly what that means.
The question that Tremont wanted me to ask you was to explain your thigh tattoos.
Oh, my thigh tattoos, okay. I have Kodak right here, which is my favorite rapper. But it's not just Kodak, it's the Rugrats, Lil Chucky. But it's mixed with Kodak, because I used to love the Rugrats when I was growing up older. That was my favorite cartoon. And then I have Ed, and Eddie. That's a legend right there. And then you got Coyote the Cowardly Dog. Like, if you don't know these cartoons, you got Hey Arnold, Cat and Dog. Like, I was born in the 90s. And like, these are the best cartoons other than SpongeBob. I love SpongeBob, too. But other than that, these are the best cartoons ever. My growing up childhood. Cartoons nowadays are crazy. Like, I can't even watch it without getting mad.
Let's end with this. Everyone asks you about the short shorts. I've asked you about the short shorts before. But for those who haven't heard that answer for whatever reason, when did you decide to start rocking the shorts as short as you did? And Naz also wanted me to ask you, are they getting higher and higher every game?
No, they actually stay the same height. As long as you see the Kodak sign, the Kodak tattoo, because what's the point of getting a tattoo if no one's going to see it? Like, back then, people were like, oh, you got a tattoo, you're bad. No, I like tattoos. I think they're a sign of, like, it's like body art. I like to be different, and I'm not scared to be different.
Cool. All right, Emmett, appreciate it, man.
Thank you.